till en mot annan rapport. And I think yesterday we did very well. We were on the spot in terms of time. But also in terms of the outcome of the meeting. Can manage time, but if the outcome and the content is flawed, then it's not a good meeting. I'm welcoming you members, Honorable Tolashe, Honorable Kongubele, Honorable Kalako, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Chibambo, Honorable Van Dijk, Comrade Minister Mtambi, the Deputy Chair of FPP, I don't see Casa. Oh. I see the CASA people. I don't see the acting chair of the CASA. As we go, we'll do some introductions. But thanks very much for being on time. I don't have the apologies with me here. I accept that Honorable Shibambo will be leaving at some stage, attending another meeting, stretched out. So many meetings, few people. But again, what is important is not the number of people, it's the kind of contribution you make, even if you are few. And it's your Honorable Shibambo, a kind of contribution, even if you are few. Quite important. The chair of ICASA, unless you are now a member of parliament, the size of that. The apologies, of course, the Honorable Shibambo is here, but as an alternate. And Honorable Ndlozi, standing apology until 1st of November. Honorable Van Dam on study leave. We are not told up to when. Honorable Van Skalvig is attending the Portfolio Commission. Committee on Labour. Honorable Mbinda is attending another committee, will join us later. Where is the Deputy Minister? They say there is an apology. She's talking. But on entities, the chair of FPP is not coming to the meeting due to other commitments. FPP Chief Operations Officer meeting the state law advisors. There is a note here that DM will join the meeting in the next few minutes. I'm told FPP Chief Operations Officer is here. Who's that? Oh. So those are the apologies, members. Shall we go straight to the items of today? And we start with FPP. at the opportune time, Honorable Shibamu, you can just sneak out. Over to you, Ikasa, Deputy Chair. FDP, not Ikasa.
Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Hamzui, you know, we don't have an ex in Bedi. In Shangana, I would say, Hamzui Mashegwa. Okay. Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Hamzui Mashegwa, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable Minister of Communications, Ms. Faith Mutambi, my colleague in the FPB Council, Mr. Natalis Kepos, Film and Publication Board Acting CEO, Mr. Richard Holtz, and your team, members of the press here present, ladies and gentlemen. The mandate of the FPB as an entity created by Act of Parliament, the Films and Publication Act of 1996, is to regulate the creation, production, and distribution of films, games, and certain publications through classification. We also provide consumer advice to society at large in our bid to protect children from exposure to harmful and inappropriate media content. Our mandate is also based on Section 33 of the Bill of Rights in our Constitution and the United Nations Charter on the Rights of the Children. Both the Constitution and the United Nations Charter provide that the rights of children should be taken in account when decisions are made in all matters that affect them. The United Nations Specialized Agency for Information and Communication Technology and the International Telecommunications Union, to which South Africa is a signatory, have recently published guidelines for child online protection. As part of our compliance in this area, the FPB has reviewed and proposed amendments to its legislation. The bill is currently before you. Following its approval by Cabinet on 5th August 2015, following the public comments process held in the House on 30th and 31st August 2016, the revised bill will be presented to you tomorrow. We have also drafted an online regulation policy, which we expect will strengthen our interventions and regulatory capacity. Honorable Chairperson, this year, 2016, the FPB celebrates its 20th anniversary as a content regulator. We are therefore very proud to still be at the forefront of content regulation and playing a significant role in protecting children. During the year under review, we have concluded a partnership with the University of South Africa in terms of which a one-year certificate course in content classification will be offered from beginning of 2017. This is just one of the many other pioneering initiatives that FPB has taken to ensure that we continue to be a national mirror in how we create, produce, distribute, and consume media content. As part of our mandate, we don't only focus on the protection of children, but sensitive adult users of media content as well. Honorable members, the FPB has once again achieved an unqualified audit. We are pleased that both our financial statements and performance information report for the 2015-2016 financial year were declared clean, which brought us much closer to attaining a clean audit. I should emphasize that the only reason we did not achieve a clean audit was due to certain matters of irregular expenditure emanating from prior years. I can assure you that we have followed the prescripts of the PFMA in obtaining necessary coordinations and implementing relevant consequence management measures. We are all working very hard to ensure that we obtain a clean audit in the 2016-2017 financial year. Chairperson and members, allow me to thank you for the continued and consistent support provided to the FPB by this committee. Your guidance is highly appreciated, and we look forward to more fruitful engagement. The acting CEO and the management team will take you through the details of the annual report for the 2015-16 financial year. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chair. Thanks a lot. Yeah, no, it's acceptable. Those who are coming from the north will call me Mashangwana. I accept that. It's quite sounding nice, eh? Mashangwana. Thank you very much. I will hand over to the Shared Services Executive. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair and members and Minister. We're going to request a 5-minute presentation to further illustrate and put emphasis on the report. It is the same information, but easily translated as well for the members.
Do something with lights. Mr. Fox? We are now left with 2 minutes, probably 5 minutes.
Remarkable about the
MPP does a lot more than adjudicating submissions. Compliance monitoring, another important aspect of the MPP's work, has also proven extremely effective. In the past year, 7,234 distributors and 1,265 ISPs were inspected. 2,707 unregistered distributors were identified, of which 1,166 ceased to operate voluntarily or due to MPP intervention. In Cape Town, Durban and Johannesburg, 104 raids were carried out. 171,536 discs were destroyed with a street value of R70,153,600. A lot of the success can be ascribed to the MPP compliance monitoring e-visitation online system. This system is able to provide real-time reports, easing the risk of discrepancy. CSCB also developed a training manual for educators to assist them in informing donors and the community about classification, regulation, legal implications, and cyber safety. Over 300 educators were trained in Limpopo, KZN, the Western Cape, and Northern Cape, while 1,961 learners were trained on cyber safety. Your officers were also updated on the Act. 13 training workshops were run with 487 law enforcement officers in the Western Cape, the Free State, Limpopo, and KZN, rendering them able to assist the SPB in expanding the footprint and increasing visibility, arrest, and prosecution. The importance of informing children on how to use the internet responsibly was also identified. SPB is also excited about the launch of Web Ranger South Africa peer-to-peer cyber safety mentoring program for children in partnership with Media Monitoring Africa and Google SA. Coupled with that, we also continued our partnership with Quad Republic, focusing on the socioeconomic issues affecting the LGBTI community, one of which is cyber safety and security. This is aligned to Outcome 14 of the National Development Plan of Nation Building and Social Cohesion. On the financial and performance reporting front, the MPB has passed with a plow and was given a clean bill of health from the Auditor General, only raising non-compliance issues with regards to preventing irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The accounting surplus in 2016 has decreased, indicating appropriate budget and expenditure management. The retention of the MPB surplus were approved by the National Treasury to ensure MPB can meet its outstanding obligations in the new financial year. Administrative fees have risen but way below inflation due to implementation of cost containment principles. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure has diminished and irregular expenditure exceptionally well managed. A high achievement against planned targets were achieved. In its 20th year of existence, the SPB has every reason to be proud and look forward to the coming years of providing excellent service to the citizens of South Africa. We will continue to keep consumers informed so they can make the best choices when it comes to content consumption.
I think given the nature of our work and the digital and ICT emphasis that it requires, the emergence of technologies as well, this might be the trend in terms of how we present information and request, and humbly request members and public representatives that we continue engaging in this manner. Chair, we're going to start from page 5 of the presentation, looking at organizational achievements. The Chair alluded to the mandate of the organization and also what is it that we regulate, which is content in particular. But also we also led the committee in terms of what is the vision of the institution, where we want to be a credible content regulator. We have come a long way in terms of our audits as well as performance audit, which also showed that we really missed a clean audit by a mark in the past financial year. There's been an overall improvement also affirmed by the AG in terms of our performance. with the 72 annual targets that we committed into assisting the minister in implementing through the mandate, 86% of those were achieved, with a consideration of reprioritization of others. There's an online policy regulation content, a policy process that is currently on course. There's one issue that we continue to also work on and strive to achieve, which is high visibility and high impact insofar as our strategy is concerned. This speaks to how we engage the public of South Africa, how awareness programs are implemented on the ground, how we support government programs, including the IMBISOs, how we work with the state information machinery, the GCIS, and also how we work with industry. This includes the UN observed days of Safe Internet Day commemoration, also how we work with provincial government in this manner. We also work very closely with radio stations so that we can derive benefit in terms of language and language use. And it is not easy to interpret the type of work that we do because of the digital nature, the ICT. Some of the words are not even in the dictionaries of other languages as well. Sometimes it's even difficult to interpret child pornography in many languages. We also work with different industry-related organizations, including Durban International Film Festival and Your Sex Pose as well. We have a footprint that is slowly integrating the work of the minister in policymaking within SADC, insofar as content regulation is concerned. We have signed MOUs with Kenya in this instance, and we have engaged Ghana as well. We've continued to work with Lesotho, Botswana, and Swaziland in the past to make sure that there's some form of alignment insofar as regulation and content is concerned. We have had an inaugural conference of the African Media Classification and Online Child Protection Conference, which really brought much attention to the country insofar as the work of the Film and Publication Board is concerned. The people who are responsible for carrying this mandate through this work profile with quite a number of Africans at 80% plus and also a total number of 89% staff, 89 staff complement, with about 55 females and 34 males. I would like to put emphasis in the trends in terms of our environment and how we continue operating so that there's further understanding and also engagement on this. We receive about 140 titles, that means movies, per month on average. This is now the DVDs that are submitted physically to our offices. Also with the games, because our mandate relates to games and classification of the games, about 52 titles. And these are the matters that are linked to your iTunes and the Apple and many relations that we are forging with industry. The online content inspection, this is a trend that we have seen over time, because this is where we find a number of cases on child pornography, some including courts requesting the FPB to become friends of the court to support certain state cases against your pedophiles, against certain syndicates that we find. And the syndicates are really formal structures of people and institutions who are respected in society. Some of them are teachers and doctors, but yet they engage in these criminal offenses. There's been a decline in our regulation income, and CFO and acting CEO will also put more emphasis in terms of the concern that we are bringing in terms of the observation and the experience we've had as the organization, as this is our revenue stream. There's also more important knowledge in terms of what are the age categories that are coming on board. There's quite a number of all ages, meaning that the content that we classify is acceptable to all. And there's also an emphasis on 13 and also 16 in terms of age restrictions. So there's been less of your 18XX, of your hard pornography that's coming on board in terms of prominence. There's also been new registrations that are coming based on the compliance work that we do, making sure that there's compliance with the Act and making sure that we are able to derive some form of revenue through registrations. And also industry continues to renew their registrations as well. They continued at 2,000 of those. We've received 4 appeals, and this is a matter of policy and also a matter of understanding of the Act and convergence, meaning that South Africans, there is a particular understanding of how content is regulated in South Africa. Therefore, there is not a lot of contestations as well in that regard. I wish to put more emphasis on the child abuse content analyze, as this continues to be a worrying factor in our daily operations. But also it impacts on the nation building project, it impacts on social cohesion. The increase of these cases refers to a number of suspected or alleged child abuse material that we find. We have dedicated staff who sit and monitors these images, and there is a growth, unfortunately, and tends to it also disrupt the pattern of compliance we are trying to put on board. These numbers also, they've increased over the years. There were 7,000 of those last year in the financial year. Now, within this period, we've received about 15 cases with 233 images of our children who might be exposed to sexual exploitation, exposed to child pornography and pedophiles, and mean that there's an impact and there is more monitoring that is required. There is more security that should be guaranteed within the cyberspace, but also there is a requirement that the parent in South Africa takes care of the child. We've seen over time with the cases that we work with social development that many children are not taken care of, and they are taken care of by media, by television. They watch, they are exposed to paid TV at any given moment because the parent in South Africa is not active in the child, in the life of the child. Even with the 2011 census, it says that, in fact, there are quite a number of childless, fatherless children, which means that order within our homes also is restrained due to that lack as well. We went on in terms of strategy and focus and the request of the committee to look at how best can we reduce the work of consultants within our business. There were components that we could not do without because we did not have expertise internally. We have also looked into that. We've only used at least 2 million of the budget in making sure that we gather these skills where we can, but throughout we have put emphasis in terms of working with the capacity we have in the organization. This is a comparison in terms of how we have decreased certain business components and costs of our business, working with advertising and how we have decreased that. This was decreased through the work that we do with GCIS. We have derived many benefits in working with the GCIS, including their media, the database, venues, and just general access as well. But also another one is how internally we continue to monitor the use of resources and provision by staff, the recruitment element. We do our own insourcing and internal recruitment and capturing, and also professional fees. We've decreased those by 43%. I'm going to hand over to Acting CEO to refer to financial matters and performance, and then come back for the actual performance as well.
Thank you, Palisa. Chair, as presented here, it's just a statement of financial performance, and what I intended to do is just to show the comparison to the prior year, specifically looking at the revenue total from 87 million to 88 million, and then looking at the surplus of 5 million and a reduction in the surplus to 3.4 million, and I'll go a bit into detail on that. 5.3 million was generated from regulation fees as compared to the 6.5 million in the previous financial year. This is a decrease of 18% and is due to the reduction in the number of registrations and physical submissions for classification. So over the past 5 years, we do see a definite trend in a reduction of our own revenue generation capabilities. Our other income is at 853,000 Rand, which consists mostly of our investment income and tender fees. Overall income received for the year ended 31 March 2016 was 88.5 million compared to 87.1 million, which shows a small growth of 1.6%. So if you want to be sustainable, or not sustainable, but to cover all your expected costs, you would like to see a growth of at least 6% with inflation. So how the FEB is trying to approach this challenge is to review our current fee structures to make it more cost effective for us to operate and to charge industry fees for classification and also the online distribution or online registrations that we require. The reduction of the accounting surplus from 5 to 3.4 million is due to appropriate planning and forecasting, and we intended to keep it as low as possible. Obviously, there are obligations that we still have to meet in the 14 or in the next financial year to pay our suppliers. This was surplus was retained from Treasury, and the surplus was also used to budget for our online content regulation project, which is currently at a 62% completion, and we plan to finalize it by the end of November. Just to note as well that 100% of our grant was indeed spent during the 2015-16 year. If we look at the expenditure side, our staff costs of 45.1 million were incurred for the current year, and this includes our classifier fees. This is our contracted classifiers that work on an hourly basis depending on the content that they need to classify, amounting to 4.3 million. Our operational expenditure of 37.9 million increased by only 1.6% as well compared to the previous year due to the cost-saving measures implemented at FPB. Palisa has touched on it, the reduction of consultancy fees and advertising expenditure, also using the E10 portal as launched by Treasury. If we look at the audit reports, we received an unqualified audit report. There was an emphasis of matter, just stating that we made corrections in the prior. This doesn't affect the audit opinion. The auditors just wanted to emphasize that. And then we had the material non-compliance, stating effective steps to prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure was not taken. And therefore, on that matter, we lost our clean audits. And I'll go into a bit more detail on that as well. The FEB adds no material adjustments to its financial statements and performance information, which is a first for us, and therefore we consider that as an improvement. The FEB identified, disclosed, and has implemented consequence management for all our irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure disclosed in the notes. Although the AG has not identified any additional irregular expenditure during the audit, and that the amounts identified by management were quantitatively immaterial, the AG still insists that the transgressions were qualitatively material due to previously raised irregular expenditure reoccurring. In other words, as the AG explained to me, was even if we just had 50,000 Rand worth of irregular expenditure, due to the reoccurrence and due to it being maybe more than 5 transactions, they still would have raised it as a material non-compliance. If you look at the notes of our regular expenditure, it's significantly reduced. We sat with 7.7 million rand of irregular and 2 million rand of fruitless and wasteful in the prior year, and we brought that down to 400,000. So we really did put a lot of effort into our systems and controls. And again, I want to emphasize that AG didn't come and say we've identified new transactions for disclosure. We did have the systems and controls in place to do that. Thanks. If we compare the finding categories from 14-15 year, this is just to display the number of findings we had per economic disclosure in financial statements or statements in the financial statements. We had about 33 findings in the 14-15 year, and then in the 15-16 year you can see the reduction. So only 14 findings that we had. So to delve a bit deeper into that, just go back. Expenditure and payables, we had 0 findings. Property, plant and equipment, 0 findings. Disclosure reduced from 4 to 2 findings. SEM finding, only 1. And that was just raised to place the not material non-compliance in our reports. Performance information reduced from 3 to 1. Compliance and control, 0 findings. ICT increased 3 to 5, and those were mostly due to administrative issues such as policies, and then overall a reduction from 33 to 14 findings. In terms of audit progress made, 88% of our previous unresolved findings were successfully cleared in the 15-16 year. The AG reported an improvement in our internal controls as per the management report they issued. Appropriate accounting and revenue transactions and ICT controls were flagged as areas of concern, and we did place controls in that area to address it. And again, I just highlighted the fruitless and wasteful irregular expenditure that I mentioned, where it reduced from a total of 9.1 to 400,000. Thank you, Vanessa.
Okay. Members, I'm going to present the cases and litigation that we are currently faced with in terms of industrial relations. And this is the reports of at least 6 cases that we have dealt with in the past financial year. The first case refers to unauthorized access to restricted area and dishonest. This refers to the area in terms of how we demarcate our working space. We subscribe to an organization called InHope with certain standards, international standards. It's an international association of hotlines where they are demarcated and security areas. Even myself or the chairperson cannot enter. So it's only certain people who are trained to deal with that. And this is where we managed to deal with issues and reports and images of child pornography and many other transgressions insofar as compliance is concerned. Now, 2 of our employees entered that space, but beyond that, a master copy of content of a DVD was missing. This was dealt with. It's been within the labor system, the court system. And then arbitration award was issued in our favor. The dismissal was confirmed by the CCMA. So there's been a ruling in the FPB's favor in dealing with this matter. As we try all the time to keep up with the standards and also be part of the European Union supported initiative. The second one, it's in the labor court. There's been appeals also made by the employees to the minister and the public protector and also the council chair. There was one case also which was disclosed in terms of fraud, and later on a reinstatement had to be done as the criminal case was withdrawn by the state prosecutor. Nedbank, as a complainant, also did not follow through, and there were no shows in court. So we had to reinstate the employee who was charged for the misuse of a company car in also going with someone to a particular bank with the alleged involvement of this fraud case. the tiny operations manager, there was a capacity building issue that we worked on in terms of supporting a junior manager so that they can also rise through through certain performance management components. We were unable to confirm that employment. The person also went through the legal process, and the matter was abandoned later by the complainant. The two last one refers to the legal manager. The legal manager who took the FPB to the CCMA for constructive dismissal claim. The case continued. It's been almost a year now. The last hearing will be on the 27th of October, where we will hear from the chairperson of arbitration in terms of where we stand with this claim. The last one refers to the anonymous complaint of an alleged employee who did not disclose misconduct with another department within the public sector, and alleging that FPB did not screen, and the information also was not given prior to that. The employee was found not to be guilty of gross dishonesty and misrepresentation within a hearing that was held by an independent chairperson. So the reports will be issued. We've attained 86% of 88% of the targets that we contracted on, and also have looked at many other elements of business in terms of improving, so that we may further put emphasis on achieving all targets and clean governance. We have looked at certain targets which affected our performance. This deals with the, I'm going to deal with particularly the red ones, so that there's further explanation given. This one refers to conducting of online submission system industry audits. This refers to how industry is also monitored as part of our regulation and engagement with them. When there's lack of participation, because it's an interdependent process, so you depend on the external party to give you information and confirm certain things. There was poor participation from that side, but we continue to engage them. There's another one of development of a labeling system. This is linked to the current tariff structure we are instituting in terms of norms and standards, but also having fixed rate. It could also present itself as an alternative revenue for the organization. The third one refers to the online policy regulation, which is currently in process, and also through consultation with industry and the public at large. The fourth one refers to conducting of convergence. What we have done in striving to obtain minimal consultancy fees, we have an MOU with the University of South Africa, where we have listed certain projects where we will have some form of an arrangement to work on. Because research can be quite expensive and impact highly on our budget, yet the outcomes form part of our policy-making process. We have worked with UNISA, but universities currently are running cost centers. They are not doing work for free for any institution. So you will get a quotation from a university, the same with KPMG at the same amount. If KPMG charges you 2 million, you'll find that University of Pretoria or University of the Western Cape will charge you the same. Therefore, this then requires market engagement and opening the tenders and so forth. There's one on page 27 where I would like at least to put more emphasis in terms of how business is growing, in terms of the compliance work that we do. Unregistered distributors pose a threat to our business, firstly in terms of income as a revenue stream, because they must register and then the FPP receives those. But then they can operate and have pirated information and also information that is threatening to the state as well if they are not monitored. We have exceeded in our looking at them through raids and have achieved quite a number of inspections through that. There's also the online compliance monitoring, which is on the rise, meaning that there's more concern that the cell phones, the notepads, the laptops that the children are using without supervision might impact in terms of how they deal with the issues. There's been 24 raids, which we work with South African police in this instance, as we do not have arresting powers through our compliance system. We support the courts in this in confirming that the material is pirated or it's legal or contains sexual exploitation for children as well. There's also on page 29 with much reference in terms of how we engage the public, looking at our high visibility, high impact strategy, working with schools, also working with where the public is gathered mostly. We've worked with parent associations, we've been to churches, we've been to stock fairs, everywhere where we find people are gathering and we can receive their attention. The one on page 31 refers to how we engage internally in terms of improving the culture of the organization, the efficiencies in the organization, the impact that we require from the capacity. Therefore, we continued with coaching of our management and staff responsible for certain components of business so that we may also receive optimal productivity. Page 33 refers to our ICT governance systems that we are working on. Because of the nature of our business, we tend to use ICT-related, and all these were fragmented in the past, so there's been an integration, and they move towards consolidation of these different systems so that they talk to each other. And it's becoming quite a costly exercise because we want to improve efficiencies, we want to invest in different and faster softwares so that we can have credibility in working with the industry and also our clients. Page 35 refers also to the study that we've done. Within our work with UNISA, we've continued to put emphasis so that we may support policy development processes. We may have further information in terms of the impact of regulations to our public, which is scientific and is found within a particular trend, but also well informed as well by all South Africans and their experiences of our work. Therefore, we've worked with UNISA in attaining child pornography in South Africa, but also we've worked with UNISA in looking into the impact of content on children, particularly the violent content. What children consume through the television, through the movies, and many other forms of content, the internet, and so on. What impact psychologically and otherwise will that have on a 13-year-old, on a 15, and a 17? And we've started at a lower age, I think of 10 as well, in looking into that. Hence, we have seen that most of the work that is submitted, which is very surprising in terms of content, is that it's highly language and violence. It means that there's a growing trend of creatives and movie producers giving us and producing content that is highly vulgar and contains a lot of violence in that, and there's been a decrease in terms of sexual content that is submitted as well. Page 37. We are looking at the business continuity and disaster recovery plan. We've done this in the past year. We've looked into how best can we work. If we are working on an online setup as an institution, this means that the impact it will have on a downtime will affect business, but also will affect the credibility of our systems at large. We might not be able to receive online submissions, we might not be able to also monitor online images. Page 40 refers to the online regulation and also strategy implementation and how our online classifiers are trained to through different streams of monitoring as well. Page 41. This is also one of the impactful programs we work with because we cannot be in many other areas in South Africa. Training of educators remain a strategic intent of the Film and Publication Board, meaning that we can have ambassadors and representation at the classroom at all given time. But if this is not done correctly, it poses as a challenge. Therefore, we have developed a manual in terms of how best can educators impart the knowledge of cyber safety, cyber security for children, and these are used by different schools, especially those who are working on e-education, those who are working on electronic chalkboards, those who are working with iPads, and those who are receiving from industry with MTN and Vodacom in particular, issuing of laptops for e-learning. So that forms part of the support so that teachers can distinguish between illegal and highly improper material and support the children in not engaging with that as the internet is borderless. 42, before I end, Chair, there's one of engaging with our stakeholders. This remains very critical in terms of how we use the funds that are allocated, but also how we try and reach and be visible, because we cannot do the work that we do currently without inputs and engagements with industry. It poses as a challenge, and fortunately we've had quite a number of engagements with many organizations, including MTN, Google South Africa, Media Monitoring, and we partner with them at given times to support certain projects. We would like to thank you, the committee and the minister, for the support throughout, and also the oversight responsibility and questioning and wanting to know whether we are able to reach out to the South African public. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I thought by now the deputy chair will be here because we hear the acting CEO and you don't know where the CEO is. Maybe minister, maybe someone will assist.
Chairperson, I am also a council member, so maybe I can assist. Yes. What was the question?
I'm saying we hear the acting CEO. We are not sure where the CEO is. There is no apology. Because
yes,
we know there is a CEO in FPP, at least.
I think it was an oversight, apologies. But yes, the chairperson, the CEO, Mr. Themba Wakasha, has been put on special leave until the end of November. So the apology should have been tendered. And Mr. Khosi is now acting in his place.
What is special leave? Just for you to go and relax? Or...
I'm not sure if the HR lady can explain what is specialty.
Specialty may be facilitating in investigation when someone is suspended and all of that.
That is the case, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I understand the special leave of Mr. Wagash. Thank you very much. Members, that's the presentation. I could see some of you when Ms. Kadi, is it Ms. Kadi? When she was presenting the Bioscope, they thought of their times in cinemas. Like I could see Honorable Kungbele was getting closer to Honorable Kalago watching. So it reminded them of their time. So that's the presentation, members. That was on a lighter note. That's the presentation. Let us engage. The engagement is not a bruising engagement. It's for us to understand where you come from in terms of your presentation, but it also provides the assistance, the advice on how to deal with matters from our point of view. So it's not to brutalize anyone, but it's to assist each other for further understanding. Honorable Kalako, Kungubele, Fadeik, Machoba, and Dolash, all of us, in that order. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just, Chair, clarity. But let me first commend the entity for receiving the unqualified, the same opinion for the last three consecutive years. But my worry is there. I want to check with you what makes you not to reach the level of clean audit. Because if I can, I think the auditor general, it means you, but I heard you were saying in the, when you were giving us the financials and what the auditor general said, that the auditor general have been emphasizing on previous matters. To me, what I want clarity on was on what the auditor general have raised with you every time. Firstly, it raises that you have to take effective steps. Effective steps were not taken to prevent what you cited, irregular expenditure. And also to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So to me, this is always what makes you not to reach that level of clean audit. What is the real problem? Why are you not able to deal with that problem? And then just for interest sake, you talk about the training. If maybe you can explain the nature of that training of which you provided to your staff. And also on this, the type of expertise you need, is that what is that those expertise are scarce expertise, which compels you time and again to actually go to those who are consultants in that field or those who have that capacity, but they are not in the in the entity. Just a reason on that. Then just on clarity on your targets, you say here you have not reached the targets. You have not met the targets due to financial considerations, which of course leads you to reprioritize in your plans. But when I was looking, when you were going through your all your strategic objectives on those areas that you have not achieved, you seem not to be saying that. You seem to be giving a different reason. So can you just maybe clarify me on that? Thank you, Chen.
Thank you. I think the in terms of substance, Honorable Kalago have asked some of the questions I was going to ask. The consecutive 3 years of a regular expenditure where you don't seem to be making a difference. Probably I think the question has been properly asked by him. But the big challenge I have, Chairperson, maybe this will apply across all these points, is I sense that there's a need for us to have a session, if Chair so accepted, at any point in time, to discuss a common understanding on the performance information. Unless that is done, we stand a risk of speaking past one another. And I know, especially in government, this is the biggest problem, where we report to each other, but the recipients of the report, we are not clear what we want from you, and you also are not sure what you want to give to us. But we end up passing tests of malicious compliance, that the reports were presented, that the meetings to look at them did take place. That's what you call malicious compliance. For instance, I'm trying to look at now a series of your documents, purely on something that we call, I'll be staying on the performance information, a lot of things that I'm on. You are saying your vision is a leading and a credible content regulator. What is that? I'm asking this question because when you intervene in any situation, the primary thing is not what you do about that situation. It's first to explain what that situation is. When you intervene in any situation, the primary thing is not what you do about that situation. It's why should you intervene in that situation? So that when you intervene, we analyze your intervention in a manner consistent with the nature of the situation you are trying to sort out. Because we as parliamentarians, as politicians, when we give money to any institution, we must be convinced that that which our people expect from us is going to happen. But in your own space, we want to know which, amongst many problems they have, which area are you intervening in, and what difference in their lives do you want to make? Now, when you say your vision is a leading credible content regulator, what would define your credibility in that regulation? What is the importance of the credibility there? Why would you want to regulate? That's a kind of question of, why would you want to regulate? If you didn't regulate, what's going to happen? I'll just give you one silly example, for instance. If you say, if I don't regulate, children will be exposed to this. Now the next question, if they're not exposed, what is going to happen? If they're exposed, what's going to happen? What's the difference between stopping them being exposed and allowing them being exposed? Because the interest of us is the state of the health and the lives of our children. Their mind, their growth. The point I'm trying to draw your attention to is that I want to contest the view that unless, Minister, when you say you want to protect children, you tell us what is the problem. When you say children must not see this type of a feeling, what is important is not whether you stop them from seeing it, is why do you stop them from seeing it? What happens? So that if we continue to put money in you preventing them from seeing it, we must be able to say, wow, because children are not seeing this, this is the kind of children we're having. But that narrative is not appearing anywhere. What is here is control. Now, an ideal vision is the state you're intervening in and how you want to change it, and the vision will be where do you want to, this to be at a particular point in time. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you are saying the rate of pregnancy is very high. That is what is worrying you. And you are convinced that this rate of pregnancy is connected to this type of feelings that children say. You've done your research, and then your vision is a reduced rate of pregnancy at a particular point in time. Not what you do. I'm not sure if it makes sense. Your vision is not what you do. It's what happened as a result of what you do. Now, this vision here is what you do. Are we together? It's what you do. We want to be a leading regulator. That's what you do. And our interest is, as a result of what you do, what happens. So that's an ideal vision in any institution, for that matter. That that which you want to see, you don't like this current state. Because you don't like this state, you are making this intervention. Because you are making it, you hope for a particular state, not what you do. And what I'm telling you is where the vision is what you do. So this vision is your action. This vision is your activities. That's why then it becomes very important that we find one another on the issues of performance information. I'm also curious where you speak about, you say in your document presentation, PFP received an unqualified audit report in respect of both financial and performance audit. I'm not sure if you do have a performance audit report. Do you have a performance audit report?
Note the questions. You respond to the questions.
Okay, so what I want is that if you have performance audit report, maybe by the end of the day, the committee needs to have it. Because our main primary interest as politicians is there. What are the results of the performance of audit report? It's good to oversight whether you follow regulations, money, and so on. Now, that's going to be very, very important. The other issue is, you will understand why this performance information is very important. Our analysis, I'm also referring to our guys who are doing analysis, our own guys, parliamentary guys. When it's useful when you read an analysis to know what are the objectives of the analysis. What this analysis is doing, ours now, I'm not talking about the department, it is articulating the anatomy of the presentation of the department. And where I stand, analysis is supposed to say, for the purpose of effective oversight, we are analyzing this report so that the parliament can be able to have a sense of the following. And then once you've done that analysis and say, have we achieved that purpose? And then it gives an impression of whether the problem is with the analysis or the problem is with the nature of the report. And the way this is now, you don't understand the purpose of this analysis. For instance, if you go to page 4 of our analysis, under overview and assessment of strategic outcomes, performance, it says strategic outcomes, it says effective and visible monitoring. Again, there's a disjunction on the use of the language of performance information. Because the outcome word in performance information is what change do you bring about. The outcome refers to the change you bring about. You came to this situation because you have done this, because of what you have done, and this is what has happened. But if you read this, it refers to that as what you are going to do again. And if we go to your annual report in page 108, I'm just going to use page 108 as an example. It applies the same way. On top there, you've written something called strategy outcome. But I don't know what I'm saying there. If you can show me, what is this, what are you referring to? Because when I come to the page speaks of the program, and there's a word that populates meaning of that. And another heading is program indicators. There are words that populate that. Another word is strategic objective. There's a word that populates that. And now you call initiative. What is it that which is a strategic outcome? It can't be shown. It can't be shown. And again, the analyst, our analyst, make an assumption. This is where the problem here is. Our analysts make an assumption that, if you look at their analysis, they make an assumption that that which is written under strategic objective, if you look at our analysis page, what is page? Our own analysis, page 4. Let's look at 5.1. Their assumption is that strategic outcome one is what is called here a strategic objective. How is that? In your own annual report, under strategic outcome one, and you have got a matrix, and that matrix has got headings. One of its headings is strategic objective. So I assume, therefore, under strategic outcome one, under strategic objective, that implement a content regulation framework is your strategic objective. But our analysts assume in their own analysis that strategic outcome is that. No, but this is how you have written it. Let me read it for you so that Because I'm not. Let me just read it so that before you shake your head, let me read it for you on page 4. In your document, under overview and assessment, you are saying 5.1, study outcome, effective and visible monitoring films and games, and time will shape whatever. This is what you have written. And then, if by saying this you're not referring to the threshold comes, then you will tell us what happened. Because here, in the annual report of the department, there is nowhere where I see where the threshold outcome is. What I see is a matrix which to me has got no relationship with the heading. So all I'm yearning for is that I wish we can have a session where it may happen that chair of the board, I'm articulating my confusion. That is possible. It may happen that I'm articulating my confusion, and I will submit if that is the case. Again, if I'm confused, it explains the lack of common understanding between us as we are sitting here on what we mean by the language that is here. And I want to say, unless we sort these things out, our oversight, most of the time, will be futile. Because after this, when I have this report, as a politician, as a constituency officer I have in Springs, I want to say, when I meet people, FPB interventions, before their intervention, this was the situation here in cinema and the societal situation. And because FPP in the past 10 years have been intervening, in the following year, things have changed. Now we can argue that this is the situation in which you are. And I'm saying I contest the view that the vision is what you do. Vision, in my view, cannot be what you do in the language, in the management language. Vision is what you realize. But your vision is about what you do.
It will be Honorable Machoba and Honorable Fanwe, whoever. It can be you, and then I come this way. But if you can go back to this book, the FPB book, go to 108, page 108, and then look at this strategic outcome 1, and across to 109, top there. It says effective and all that. That's how they have arranged their presentation. The effective, all of that. But they will explain. But for purpose of reading it properly, I read it as. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But as you go to all of them, SOs, you go from this page to the other.
Thank you, Chair. First, I want to thank you for the presentation. I can see that you have put a lot of effort into that. And then I've got a few things. Page 49, it indicates that 76% of the reasons why staff leave or are leaving is because they resign. And I just want to know what are the reasons why they, because most of the people that leave the company is for that reason.
Page 49, no?
Yes, on this, in the...
On the book. The black book.
The black book. Very nice book. And then out of curiosity, I would like to know what is the time frame for classifications. And then also, I see on page 58 that there's no learnerships. And I'm very... I just want to find out if that is something that you will consider in future. And I think the main thing that the FPB did not provide is a breakdown of the expenditure of per program And that makes it difficult to make an assessment of the financial performance of each program when you want to assess the correlation between the variance in the plan targets and the actual achievements. So that's maybe something that in future you can just consider. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I don't have much here because I missed one of my books where I'm supposed to read and come up with a effective question. That one you said must be the thick one, the black one. Yeah, I don't have that book. But my curious is in page 37, Chair. Yes, in the presentation. I think that the department made a very decisive strategy in terms of alerting the staff awareness via email. But I'm not sure what exactly what is the message in an email when you send for violating the staff about the fraud in page 37. And also I want to know about the payment that made to the DR. What is the DR service? I think the vibration name is not, I just need the proper name. And in page 41, again, there's this training of 300 educators, and I need clarity with who's choosing these educators. Is via a service provider, or just I need clarity around the selection. Let me stop there, Chair.
Honorable Tola, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. First and foremost, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to congratulate one of our own who is now leading the team. I can really safely say it's true that being this side, you can as well become part of the other side. And this time bring you more experience and knowledge. But not only that, but also being a woman. I'm very proud of you, Minister, to have been so wise, to having appointed some of the people that have got very broad knowledge on the policy development and the background and the cornerstone of this democracy. Thank you very much, and highly. Secondly, Chairperson, I hear and I'm quite happy to get to hear that the relationship between this entity and GCIS is quite alive and kicking one. However, you must learn and faster from GCIS. Be faster to learn from them because you know where they are when it comes to AG's reports and stuff. We really now know when people work together, surely there always be very, very fruitful outcomes. I think it's now being proven. Chair, mine will be from page 5. I agree with what my colleagues have just referred to, especially on the issues, the emphasis that the whip of the Renewal Party raised insofar as the AG's report is concerned. Page 5, bulletin number 123, if the department can give more information, because for me that is a little bit vague, when you said financial consideration and subsequent reprioritization of plans. I'm not sure what that means. on the organizational achievements, if you can talk more on that so that I can be clearer, because I'm not sure if you talk annual performance plan and you also talk reprioritization of plan. That's too vague. And can also create problems. For me, Chair, the second one will be page 7. Quite happy with the balance of male and female. I'm not just only a gender activist, I'm a woman. So this reflects what we are preaching. We hope all other parties will follow, because where there are these people, they are there because they are the majority in the society. We are not making any favor, but we give them what is due to them. Thank you very much, because we see this, or we just realize that this doesn't happen, because people still are sitting with the mist that these important people are not as important and can therefore can never be put into very responsible positions. Thank you for that progress. Chair, on page 9, on consultants, quite happy, but that figure 668.484.31, if the CFO can speak a little bit more, it's huge. But in your report you said people are resigning. I'm not sure we should spend that much if people are just resigning, unless there is something that you really want to tell us about a little bit later. Chair, on 12, also we want to congratulate you guys by having such a reduction from the consultancy engagement. It's quite a very great step and stride. Really want to congratulate you. Check the audit report. I think bulletin 3 is giving some responses on why we are performing like we are doing. I think what we want to hear is how far are you making sure that this doesn't occur further. It's quite clear. And I think we must just do what we need to do so that we can be able to come in the next financial year having to report nothing else but the good news. Page 25, the very last development or and approval of the labeling system. I'm worried when the explanation on variances. The very last one, further engagement by council is needed before adoption. If the council was somebody who's not part of the institution, I would understand. But because it's there, it sits whenever the need arises, I don't think there should be variances for that reason. I don't think that response is quite acceptable. If it was a stakeholder that you not necessarily have 100% control over, that would be acceptable. The second last one here will be, I'm sorry about my will be in page 25. It was the last one. It was page 25 was the last one. I really want to thank the presentation, Chair. It was quite good. There's little that needs to be done, and I think it's achievable with the kind of potential that I've just realized from the team. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Deputy Chair, I will refer to you so that you delegate you to the relevant people, all these questions that are asked. But just one or two areas that I want when you respond to cover. running through the report, I don't get the people with disabilities in FPB. That's one area. The other one will be when you're talking about the fraud case, which is very good, by the way. I think we must detect the fraud so that we can arrest fraudsters. Remember the story of the fraudster. So that we can arrest the fraudsters, we can flush them out of the system so that we have a corrupt-free FPB and all other entities. Maybe how you are able to get such fraud stuff and the corrupt people, that will be very helpful, so that we learn from the best. The last one will be on your programs. Surely there are planned targets, and there are also actual achievements. And I didn't hear or see that breakdown when you are presenting your expenditure, because the programs must be planned, the targets must be funded and all of that, but there must be that explanation per program. If we have missed it, but we are free to explain all those again, so that we have more clarity, Deputy Chair. So those are the few questions that we wanted to ask, Deputy Chair, so that we can have this clarity from your presentation. Thank you very much. When you are out, I demanded the explanation on the acting CEO, and it was given by your counselor. So on that one, I think we are fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry I had to rush out for the test in the water. I didn't want to come and faint here, and you call ambulances to come and fetch me. Okay, thank you very much. I'll ask Dr. Skippers to answer some of the questions.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. I'll address the issue around the vision and the credibility. I think it's a very important question, because as a council, we're responsible for setting the course and where we want this organization to go. But I'm going to point out a few issues why we feel or we think we are or we should be a credible content regulator. You would have heard earlier on that we were celebrating our 20-year existence this particular year. So in the last 20 years, we've become credible, or one part of our vision is that why we want to be a credible regulator is because we've always been consistent in our approach in terms of classification, in terms of the content, and Palisa can expand on all the content that we actually monitor. But we're also reliable, and that leads to the question of how often or what is the timeline around classification. The management can pick up on that. We're very responsive, and I think our processes are also very fair and transparent. We've got a very good validation process that we take when we actually do the classifications. And if you read our legislation in terms of our separation of powers, as a council, we do not get involved in any of those processes that I've mentioned, whether it be classification, and we've also got an appeals board. And so if the public or the members feel that they're not happy with the outcomes, they have another opportunity to seek the minister's input. What also makes us credible is the research. We spend a lot of time on research. This means we from time to time, in fact quarterly, we seek out the communities, the various communities, in terms of where we have charted as far as our moral compass is and the changes. Hence, Palisa mentioning earlier that we can see that there's now a trend where the violence in the material that we're seeing supports our research and also the content that is submitted. Other areas, in terms of the appeals board, you'll find that even earlier on we mentioned that there were four appeals. We allow that process to anybody in the community to actually come to the appeals board and question our processes, and we're quite happy to share that, and we actually publish that. So the appeals board does not necessarily also report to us. It's a separate entity or separate institution, but it's part of the FPB, where if anybody feels that what we've done in the organization is not credible, they can then seek retribution or whatever they feel is necessary. On the credibility again, we the only institution that delivers this type of classification processes, if I'm right, Lisa. Now we've engaged UNISA to assist us. So if anybody wants to undertake training, for example, MNET, we even provide training to institutions like that, so that they can align their classification processes with what we do. So they come to us, even outside of South Africa, and we are setting the boundaries, we are charting the course in that way. You will notice that now, I think tomorrow we will be discussing the online bill. We've had challenges because we now notice, or we see that we have to start regulating online, because of the movement in the market and the movement in terms of the actual videos and DVDs that are being delivered. And we've been preparing for this for quite some time. So we've been ready in terms of that. And we also have a very robust consultative process to look at the awareness sessions that we do, the things that we do in the communities, the talks, the education that we do. So we're very open to criticism and open to input from our stakeholders, our ISPs, and allow for that to change or to shape the way society is moving. On the issue on the media, obviously we're in an area that is very, very specialized. So we constantly have to change the approach, we constantly have to adapt, but we in no means will steer very far from what our mandate is in that regard. So I hope I've covered some of the areas in terms of our credibility. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask Mr. Host to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll respond to the financial related questions, and I'll hand over to Palisa for performance and HR related questions. On irregular expenditure, if you look at page 100 in the annual report, I'm just going to use it as an example. If you look at the 2014-15 year, where the FEB is coming from, the total irregular raised for the 14-15 year was 6.3 million rand, carrying over page 100. And carrying over 1.8 million rand of irregular dating back to 2010, and was just left there. So since I started there, and then you look at the table below, it shows you the condonations. We had to investigate and correct all the processes and procedures, because that 6.3 million rand transgressions was so comprehensive, it almost included every type of transgression that you could think of. And then you compare that to the 15-16 year, and you can see we raised 184 and 270,000 rand. That is a significant reduction from where the FEB comes from to where they were at 15-16. If you look at the number of findings raised by the AG on SCM, okay, on page 100, column 2, on. Note 26, irregular expenditure. So there's a heading 2015 and 2016. So you see there's an opening balance for 2015 of 1.8 million rand. Then in that financial year, they added 3.3 million rand of irregular expenditure. And then they discovered another 3 million rand of irregular expenditure, probably dating back to the 13-14 year. And it adds up to 7.7. And then you compare it to what we're sitting at now, 254. And then below that is all the condonations, because for all the 7.7 million rand, we had to investigate, report to Treasury, depending on the type of irregular expenditure or type of transgression, and some went to our accounting authority. And we condoned 7.4 million rand of the 7.7 and some of the current irregular expenditure. I feel a bit aggrieved with the AG's opinion on this. If you look at the comparison, for me it's quite clear there has been systems and controls in place. There has been a significant improvement in those systems and controls. Unfortunately, the AG has a methodology how they apply quantitative materiality in terms of non-compliance, and they do their thing, and it's very black and white, and they tick the box and they said sorry. So I am very aggrieved at what happened to us this year, I must say. We did a lot of work specifically in terms of this area because I could see it as a problem. We're still working hard to try not to incur other irregular, but please remember that fruitless and wasteful irregular, there's human nature elements involved in this type of transactions. If someone missed a signature, forgot to take it to the CEO for sign-off, it becomes irregular. If the SCM official had a bad day and forgot to get a SBD 4 form, it becomes irregular. If someone has a traffic fine, it's fruitless and wasteful. So I've worked with the AG for 7 years, and I think there is a problem in terms of this way of in terms of their methodology, how they determine whether what is material non-compliance. And I think a lot of entities lose a clean audit because of this. For me, it doesn't make sense. If you look at the figures and facts, you know, we had 38 million rand of expenditure, of which 400,000 was irregular. So if the, I don't know if the AG and the portfolio committee engage, maybe this can be a case in point to discuss on how they do their methodology. But just to conclude on it, we do have our procedures in place. I think it's quite evident. Will irregular be incurred again? It's possible. We're all human. We're not machines. But we do our utmost best to try to prevent it as far as we can.
No. Before you proceed, otherwise you'll get sick. You know, when you are aggrieved and all of that, and you don't do anything about it, then you'll get sick. What do you think must be done? Because I think as you are aggrieved, then you need to say, as FPP, this is what we are doing.
Well, we've taken it up to the business executive level at the AG, and they still disagreed with our view on it. So this becomes a bit more, I think this challenge, as the FPB, we've escalated to the business executive level at the AG. That's basically the highest we can go. I think because this is a methodology implementation issue at the AG, discussions at a higher level needs to happen. I'm not sure at what level, if that's the portfolio committee or Treasury and the AG, but I think that could assist, specifically looking at this case, what has happened. And I will even attend and put my case forward if needs be, because we really did fight hard for this, and I think it was very harsh. I think if you even look at consistency, some of the entities have irregular prior years and years before that as well, and they probably don't have this type of finding.
No, I think that's one. We're
beside that, sir.
Umber?
Responding.
No,
I was animated by the response on this one. But I think in the modern day, we don't have to debate these other questions. I just to express my view on this. I don't know what your total budget is. Total budget is a unit.
89. Well, for 16, 17 is 89 million.
Million.
Yeah.
It's a very small budget. So 250,000. It's not something to be proud of as an irregular expenditure. That's the point I want to make. So you are not supposed after 3 years. For instance, if you're intervening for over 3 years, institutions of multi-billion consider half a billion as a huge irregular expenditure. So in your case, with about so small million and over 3 years, your irregular is still 250 something. If I were you, I would ignore AG and correct what AG is worried about.
Thank you.
You're proceeding, mostly. You're not responding to that.
No.
Okay.
There was another question.
Chairperson, thank you. Honorable Gungubeli, we are meeting the AG next week. I believe we are going to discuss some of these things, myself and the chairperson. Thank you.
I was saying that my advice, if I were you, I would not go and fight with AG. What I was going to do, I would say to AG, I've acknowledged your comment, we'll do our best next year to come to zero if we can.
Proceed, whoever's going to respond. Not on this one, I think we're done with this one.
Okay. There was a question on the audit of performance information in the audit report. So the AG does audit performance information. They do have a paragraph in the audit reports. Although it's not an official audit opinion, they do reports on non-compliance and material adjustments and viability and accuracy of the information. So they have a section in the audit report. I think it's page... It's on page 60, starting on page 65 and paragraph in the report.
65?
Yes. And then on page 66, paragraph 10, they report on performance information. Paragraph 10. They're heading predetermined objectives. Okay. The time frames for classification.
No. He's used to be a mayor of Ekurhuleni. So he's now interfering with the chairperson's work.
Thank you, Chair. Time frames for classification, I think on average is about 3 days before the client will get their opinion. Expenditure per program was another question. I think that's omission from us from the presentation slide. If I could be afforded the opportunity just to compile that and send it through to the portfolio committees, that would be acceptable. But we do not have
it. That's agreed. If you can have it, that will be helpful.
And I think I'll hand over to Vanessa. Thanks.
Thank you, members. There was a question on cultural change and the training of staff. What sort of training are we doing? The type of environment we operate in requires ICT and an ICT savvy workshop workforce. Now this requires that even the age and the workforce of FPB is about 37. We are one of the youngest organizations. You find very young people there, including myself. Now, with our engagement with industry, we find that we are unable to keep up with technological advances. And it's becoming a concern. If you are a regulator, you must be upbeat. You must be quite advanced. Hence, there were reprioritization in the targets. There were systems we could not afford to buy so that we can streamline online content that we are getting. We've been manually operating, receiving DVDs, recording, even Home Affairs, they're doing much better than us. And affordability is an issue. Secondly, the issue of performance information and the credible, I think Dr. Skippers, we've been working on this as the institution, and the council's vision really based on censorship. We come from a history of censorship prior to 1994, and matters of credibility still weigh much more in terms of how we envision ourselves, especially we want to lead in the sector of content regulation so that industry understands the standards and the norms. Also within that, when you are credible within our setup, it means that you are able to perform highly and you are able to respond with informed choices of your age classification and that your outputs and their reports, they have constitutional muster in terms of responses that we give. The cost to classify, it's becoming more of a burden in terms of what we put in as the state and what we charge industry. For instance, it's about 1.3 to charge for a DVD. Yet we have four experts sitting at any given moment to look at a content, at a one DVD, so that they can issue a report. On top of those four, we have a quality assurer, which is the number five person, to make sure that the seamlessness and also the credibility of that report remains. What will we do if FPB was not there in our society? With the cases that we are dealing with every day, members, there are cases of child rape, there are cases of sexual assault amongst children themselves, taking pictures of their of them engaging in sexual activities in school premises, in school uniform. These also form part of the stats that contribute to suicide of the very same young people of our country. But also we have those who are bullying others. They will take a clever girl in a classroom, use their face and say, if you want a prostitute, call this number. Put a proper face, put a real address of that person and a phone number. Now, this child must bear lots of men chewing and calling her home address. These are the cases we've had. We've had cases of pastors, ministers of religion, who were exposed naked as well, about three of those, and all they were crying for was to take that down. They were found compromised, and it was a matter of two people who were consenting to that. So these are some of the daily engagements we receive, but also the issue of vacancy, why staff resign. A lot of staff resign in our exit interviews, which is a policy. You do not leave the FPB without giving feedback. They resign because mainly because of better offers and salaries out there. We find that we are also giving back our own capacities to industry. Mnet, MultiChoice, they are taking away from us. But also in terms of how we train them. Remember, we don't study classification in university. It's only going to start with our partnership with UNISA, which we signed off on the 6th of October. It's the very first. Many people, including media lawyers who come and present cases before Parliament, none of them have studied content regulation. There is no course. So we are the first to also make sure that there's that part of intervention so that when we
support policy making processes, then we are informed of something, that we have internships because we want to support young people in South Africa in understanding the field, also in supporting industry, because most of our learners, interns, they go through, some of them are in the development bank, some of them, they are legal advisors to the lottery. I think what assists is that we're doing regulatory work, and regulatory and compliance is a common denominator in terms of it affects ICASA, some of them go to ICASA. Also, we've received from ICASA as well, it also affects how industry operates. The issue of DRP, disaster recovery system, in terms of how our systems are connected, should we not have electricity or should we have a block or a gap or a hack in terms of ICT systems, what then do we do, how do we operate? Because we're streamlining our work towards online online systems. Now, we are not going to get people submitting DVDs. People should sit from where they are, anywhere in the country, and streamline and press a button and send content. And at the other end, FPB will be at the receiving end, and other processes will be followed. How do we choose these trainers and educators? Educators, in fact, become trainers because we look at the problematic schools. We look at schools where there's an emergence of child rape, there's an emergence of these our naughty children who are found, and cases of them using child pornography. We've had a lot of cases as well in terms of addiction. The addiction rate is increasing in terms of pornography in the country among school-going youth. We cannot verify for now in terms of statistics, but the danger is of that is what type of a nation are we building, and how then do we take away from that? Because addiction, this type of addiction is not like drug addiction. Pornography addiction is a different case to handle with. Parents are leaving homes because they cannot live with their children who are all the time wanting to view this content within their parents' premises. These are in the newspapers. Some of them, we refer to them as tabloids, but they are closely linked to our mandate. The reprioritization, therefore, then, is linked to what we could not do based on budgets. There were two projects, major projects, that we wanted to do, the online content regulation system, because of the number and because of the standards we're setting. We want to work with Apple. Within working with Apple and iTunes, there's almost thousands and really hundreds of thousands of content that is submitted. Now, we do not have space, first of all. Also, we do not have capacity to deal with that within the organization. However, if we use online and ICT systems, we are able to connect very easily in applying the mandate. Because no matter how rich a resourceful an industry player is, they still need to comply. They still need to follow the regulations of the country. Hence, there were also some cases also with industry partners not wanting to conform to some of the standards, but we are settling that on the side. Dealing with people with disabilities, Chair, we've had people with disabilities and they resigned within the period. Therefore, we could not respond as of 31st of March. But also, currently now, we are looking at a recruiter who deals specifically with people with disabilities so that we can also work with them. Also improve our environment. We've even had workshops to see what is feasible within our environment that so that when we are ready to receive them, they can work. The fraud case and disclosure, I think it's through policy, through emphasis. Some of the cases are through whistleblowing, and our staff, they understand the guidelines that are there and the impact and the protection that is received through reporting a fraud case. So it becomes how we implement policy internally. The issue of labeling, there's one red there, which is also a concerning factor. It's a big project called the Labeling Project. When you go to Pick n Pay, when you go to Woolworths, you'll find they sell music and DVDs as well. Within that, they must have the triangle of the FPB confirming the age restriction, which means that it would have gone through our processes. And that is the labeling, because it needs that. But now, online, how do we pick up that that content went through the FPB system? So that is labeling of online content as well, which forms part of our tariff structure and the online content regulation project. And this is a huge operation. It is as close to the government printing works, the costs related to it, if we were to do it manually. Now, when we're doing it online, it's still as expensive, but we've looked at options as well. Hence, we could not complete the target. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I think the last one maybe is who's leading the team at the moment. The team is being led by Mr. Hose until the CEO comes back. He's the one who's acting. Thank you.
Minister?
I'm sure she will be the right person to respond on this particular one. I know there are relationship between these entities and other government departments, but I want Minister to get to hear the social development in particular that deals in many cases or as part of the childhood and family, as well as the DBE, because all these are happening in schools. We get to know because they are happening in schools. We are unable to get what's happening in the homes. So I just want to get more on your relationship on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Like I presented what you wanted to say for another point of light, because that's the other issue that I wanted to raise to say. We belong to the cluster ministry that deals with outcome 14. The FTB is very critical for that, based on the sense that it has to contribute towards the social cohesion and nation building. And then, you know, talking about children's rights, the moral fiber of the society, these are impediments also of the social cohesion agenda. Then we then that's why freelance and publication bodies also required to contribute on these issues that they are raising. So we are meeting as cluster ministers, and then all the time then their contribution to the cluster gets reported. So I can assure you we are working closer with them. What we are currently discussing now with all the departments in the cluster is to see how can our various entities assist in the work of the cluster. The same thing that happens to the work of the Freelance and Publication Board. And then I wanted to refer members to page 108 up to 127. I think the chair raised it, is the issue on the performance information report. Safe to say, then we want to take the cue and the advice from the committee to say next time when it's yellow, is not achieved, it mustn't be reported as yellow. We'll have to report achieved or not achieved. And then also to take the cue that in future Freelance and Publication Board, if the circumstances that will make you not to deliver is dependent on the other stakeholders outside ourselves, then we need to then not to put them as target, because then you won't be able to deliver. But nevertheless, if you read some of the rest, yes, these are the issues that we are going to follow up to assure you the committee as a department, even though they will achieve later after the financial year. It means then when we monitor the progress, because out of this, as you've heard the AG yesterday, there is an implementation plan, action plan on all the issues that we did, including the issues that were not had in terms of this annual report. So in our quarterly meetings, these are the issues that we'll be able to follow up as a department and also report back to you. Then there was the issue that Honorable Ngobele raised with regard to the issue of the strategic objectives. I think this is noted. And then as we present our APP for the next financial year, these are the issues that we need to deal with robustly. I think it's a way of advice on the matter. Then we'll have to look at that. Safe to say, you'll recall that the Constitution Section 16, it gives provision for the freedom of expression. but it ever sets a limitation and gives the obligation to the state institutions to guard against any freedom of expression that will, to an extent, perpetuate propaganda of war, incitement, or imminent violence. And then we are, the Section 28 is of paramount importance in the Constitution for the FPB, based on the fact that the FPB has got the responsibility that all the time the children's interests are of paramount importance in every matter concerning the child. So these are the issues that then, the issues that we're raising around division, these are the things that we need to deal with. Like, we take the cue to say, ideally, the vision is what we realize. So these are the issues that will be dealt with as we do our APPs for the incoming financial year. I want to thank you for the constructive input.
Thank you.
I think the minister's response is actually very helpful. I just wanted to say, because you don't, one doesn't want to send an attitude of being arrogant, like we're saying. We don't want to send that attitude, because we benefit from the nature of presentation that you came from us. And I think, Chair, for their credit, there has been an attempt to clarify a number of the issues. But I think the minister has assisted, because what I wanted to say, you articulated, your surname is, I know you, so you're part of that. You've articulated a lot of issues that have made you to intervene yourself. Pastoral, whatever, rape and whatever. You said it in your own words. But the question now that one asks, I'm looking at your indicators here. I'm looking at your vision. I'm looking at everything. How do you know that you are making a difference in those things? Because none, there's no sign that you are making a difference. You believe if you make this intervention, you will change those things. Probably you're correct. But and how then in your information as recorded here, you understand what I mean when I say your vision seems to be what you are doing, not the results that you want to see. Because I wanted to respond to say, when you say you are a credible regulator, it depends who you are credible to whom. I'll give you an example. As you are trying to intervene online, what you call regulation now, a lot of guys are already, they are very angry with you. But let me give you this example. It may happen that you intervene in a manner that makes them happy, but not make a difference with regard to the reason that made you to intervene. I'm not sure if that makes sense. You want to deal with the rape, you want to deal with the children who rape other children, those who bully others because they see movies. But you put up regulatory measures that make the enterprises there to be happy. But because you are not checking the situation which is a result of your intervention, and your vision is based on you being credible in their space, you can't be credible in their space, and those activities can still continue. So that's why I'm contending that the vision, in my view, I contend maybe we need to engage. It can't be that what you do, it is that which you want to realize.
But the minister,
we copy the minister.
Yes, the other moment that I wanted to raise, I think you also raised a critical issue, honorable, on the issue to say, maybe rather the feelings of the question, but they need to focus on cleaning those historical, this irregular expenditure. So it's true that then they've reduced it from 9.1 million to 490,000. But I would always say also that they also need this clean audit. They need it. Can I say why they need it? Because of their sheer professionalism, integrity, and accountability, because they themselves disclose the issue which they say they didn't pick up. Otherwise, they would be having a clean audit. Yeah, yeah. So that's the issue. But otherwise, the issue that you've raised to say then now the focus should be on them getting a clean audit. Maybe also now because they themselves put themselves in this. Otherwise, professionalism and integrity that you also have to also aspire from there. the outcome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there anything that we still have to check from FPB? Members? Funding to dollars? Nothing? Yeah, no. Minister?
Without going there, favor, Honorable Gungulen, I think if you check the way the SPD report also on their matters of DCs and whatever, other entities should learn from them because they are able to also take members on the progress that they are making. Yeah, I think they need to be commended for that to say. They need to keep it up because you can see this accountability, they are able even to take members through what has happened, what has done. I think the other entities will have to learn for them, which is a very good.
I think we are now done, members. I know Honorable Kongbele is a very probing or dynamic debater. So he likes, we are trying to talk, which is good. But thanks very much, members, for your questions and your advices. So you've done your work, and then you can get paid at the end of the month. FPB, Deputy Chair, I'm very happy to say to you and FPB that continue with the good work. You are making South Africa proud. I wish you can say that to all our entities, man. You know, yesterday we had the GCIS, which is a department. Because I always thought that GCIS is an entity of DOC. And I think we need to learn from each other. Exactly the point the minister is making. We need to learn from each other. We need to improve. You know, best practices is what we must learn from. So thank you very much. We'll You know this man, apart from being a former mayor, is a chief. So I don't have cattle to pay him. Because if I defy him, I'll have to have cattle. Umhlambi wengomo to take it, them to his homestead. Madiba Kela.
We agree that for 3 years we weren't able to eliminate people who are in the United States. We have to say the mind.
Check and respond to that.
So,
yes, you can if you look at our management report, the AG didn't raise any control findings relating to the SCM. They raised the material non-compliance because we couldn't prevent. Anything else, members? Thank you very much, FPP. You can sit and listen to how ICASA will present and how we'll deal with them. Thank you very much. We may have a 5 minute break. Just to have tea and please don't smoke. Don't care.
Don't be doing it.
not yet. Well, that's going now.